Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Zotec Answers Podcast. I'm Ed Gaines, Vice President of Regulatory Affairs and Industry Liaison here at Zotec Partners. I'm a healthcare attorney with over 30 years of experience advising hospital physician groups and policymakers on complex regulatory issues. Today is Thursday, August 21st, 2025. Today, we're diving into a story that blends the fine print of federal law with varied impacts on programs that millions of Americans rely on, principally Medicare. You've seen trade press headlines about sequestration cuts, but what does it really actually mean? Why do these cuts keep popping up, and how often has Congress stepped in to stop them? That's exactly what we're unpacking today. So bear with me as we get down into the weeds a bit, but that's where we need to go to answer this question. What are the potential PAYGO sequestration cuts, and what do they mean for Medicare? Let's start with the basics. Sequestration is a budget enforcement tool created under the statutory Pay-as-you-go Act of 2010, also goes by the acronym PAYGO. Washington loves its acronyms. Healthcare loves its acronyms. And there's our acronym, PAYGO. The PAYGO law requires Congress to offset the costs of new legislation. So the Congressional Budget Office is charged with scoring each bill for potential costs or savings. If the savings don't offset the cost, then the law requires that the Office of Management and Budget, which is part of the administration, is ordered to do across-the-board reductions in certain federal programs. Now, the military is exempt. But these potential cuts are called sequestration, or sequestration cuts for short. Importantly, OMB doesn't look at a single year's deficit. It records the average annual effects of a law over both a 5 and 10 year period. Whichever average is larger determines the size of the potential cuts. Fast forward, when the lawmakers this summer passed the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, or what we like to call the Triple B, the CBO looked at the Triple B and said that they thought it would add $2.1 trillion to the federal deficit over 4 years and $3.4 trillion through 2034. Now, there are a lot of people, a lot of experts in the economy, a lot of folks on Wall Street that disagree with CBO's calculations. And there are certainly politicians in Washington who disagree with CBO. And they're quick to point out that CBO has previously completely missed the boat on measuring economic impacts in the past. Be that as it may, CBO is the official referee on the field. So they're the ones that we have to pay attention to. Fortunately, before the Big Beautiful Bill Act was passed, Congress had waived sequestration cuts for 2025. So we're clear this year. But 2026, this will come back. So CBO's estimates on the trillions potentially being added mean sequestration cuts are potentially back on the table. They're estimating that the offset could be $415 billion in fiscal 2026 alone. I mentioned defense is exempt, Social Security is exempt, along with some low-income programs, but Medicare is not. Medicare cuts are capped at 4%, which translates into tens of billions of dollars, starting with about $45 billion in 2026 and climbing to $76 billion in 2036. Why is Medicare capped? Well, back when PAYGO was passed in 2010, they knew that without some limits, sequestration could literally eviscerate the Medicare program. And Medicare and Medicaid are the second largest U.S. government expenditure, then Medicare could be one of the budget areas to generate most of the savings. But if you cut Medicare by 10 or 20% in a single year, it could be devastating, not just for seniors, but also politically. So they added a safeguard. Medicare can't lose more than 4%. The cap was designed as a compromise so that Medicare would still contribute to deficit reduction, but it can't bear the full weight. The trade-off, though, is that with Medicare limited and big programs like Social Security and defense exempted, the government is left trying to take enormous cuts out of a much smaller pool of programs, many of which don't have the funds to cover it. This is one of the reasons sequestration often looks unworkable. Here's where it gets tricky. The pool of programs eligible for sequestration is much smaller than the size of the deficit. If you zeroed out some of those accounts, you still wouldn't reach the reduction levels required by law. And it's not just a numbers game, it's about credibility. If sequestration were carried out in full, the cuts would be so large they'd overwhelm the programs that remain eligible. So what's happened in the past? Congress has almost always stepped in to prevent it. Since PAYGO was enacted in 2010, multiple deficit increasing bills have threatened to trigger cuts. In 2017, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act would have required $136 billion in cuts, including the full 4% from Medicare, but Congress waived the legislation to prevent that from happening. Over the past 6 to 8 years, sequestration has been threatened several times, but Congress has never let the full cuts go through, just like they didn't in 2025. Lawmakers generally agree it's politically too toxic to cut Medicare that deeply and too disruptive. So sequestration has become kind of a bargaining chip. That brings us to next year. If we don't pass corrective legislation, then sequestration cuts could begin in 2026. Now, we believe that Congress will have the entire legislative calendar to address it, but now is the time to begin joint advocacy. It's likely that lawmakers will intervene again, but the fact is that this mechanism keeps resurfacing tells us an important point. Congress is willing to rely on future promises of cuts to get big bills passed today. So that leaves Medicare and our other programs in kind of a perpetual state of uncertainty. So once again, advocacy on your part is very, very important, and certainly consult with our ZPAC website for additional advocacy resources. That's all for today's episode of Zotech Answers. Thanks for joining me. And remember to like, subscribe, and share. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any topic or ideas for feedback, email us at zotechanswers@zotechpartners.com. That's zotechanswers@zotechpartners.com. Until next time, this is Ed Gaines for Zotech Answers, reminding you to stay informed and, most importantly, stay engaged with your lawmakers. Thanks, everybody.